want to congratulate the boys soccer team and the girls volleyball team from Dublin Christian Academy. Both of them got third place in the tournaments that they had over the weekend, and they played well, had good attitudes. I was pleased as I observed the teams from all of the Christian schools in the area that they got along well, and they played hard, but they did get along. I was amazed by that. I grew up in a Christian school system where we didn't go to play games and have a good time. We went to annihilate the enemy, and to see that kind of camaraderie and spirit and the joy that they had even as they played hard was a good thing. I know some of you who are playing still want to annihilate the enemy, but you did it with a smile on your face, and that counts, I guess. Today we're in Matthew chapter 5, and we have been going through the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. Good sermon. You can read it in about 20 minutes. We've been spending several weeks on it already. There's so much in it. The Beatitudes are what most people think of when they think of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the people who do these different things. And Jesus has been going through those things. We've been going through them in our services on Sunday morning. And it's been very good to see what God expects and the attitudes that He wants us to have as children of God. And then we get to verses 13 and 14 and verse 16 last week, and we saw how as believers we are to be salt and light. We're to make an impact. We're to get close enough to people to impact them by our presence, and then to be bright enough to proclaim the gospel, that those who do not get close enough at least hear the gospel, at least see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by our testimony. And I'm sure that this, as Jesus was preaching this to the crowd that was there, there were people there who were looking at this and thinking, oh, He's going to start something new. He's going to do something different. He's going to bring in a whole new way of life. A revolutionary is the way they thought of Jesus. But we get to these next verses and we understand that Jesus was not coming to turn the world upside down, so to speak. He was merely to set it right the way God intended it in the beginning. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Think not, in the Greek it basically lends the idea that don't even start to think this way. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray, and we'll continue looking at these four verses that we have this morning. Father, thank you for the good song service this morning, for the way that you've already met with us and blessed us. Thank you for those who are here today. We do pray that you will help us as we look at your word to see exactly what it is that you're trying to say to us. Give me wisdom and give me clarity of thought and clear speech to be able to tell these people what I've studied and learned from your word. And then, Lord, help us to leave this place practicing it, living it in our daily lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There are basically, over these four verses, four big points. The big thing that Jesus is trying to do is establish the need for us to be in God's Word, the perfection of Scripture. In verse 17, we see the preeminence of the Scriptures. Christ came to fulfill it. In verse 18, we see the permanence of the Scripture. It's never going away. It's always going to be there. It is the divine standard by which we are to be judged. Then you see in verse 19 the pertinence of the Scripture and how it applies to us and what we're supposed to be doing with it. And then the purpose of Scripture in verse 20 that shows us that there's no way in the world that we can live up to the standard. You know, for 48 years, there was a lady from Russia who held a record. She had 9 gold medals and several silver and bronze medals from the Olympics. 18 total. Nobody had 18 medals from the Olympics except for this woman for all those years. Larissa Latinina, I think is the way you pronounce her name. She was a gymnast and she put Russia on the map when it came to the Olympic Games. And she held on to it. Little woman, 5'3". And then along this summer came a young man who got more gold medals than her and more medals total than her, Michael Phelps. He didn't get 9 gold medals. Now he has, 18, I think it is? Total of 22 medals. And she said, I'm finally glad. She's 77 years old. She says, I'm glad to see some man has finally been able to beat me. She held the standard for a long time. She was the standard. She was the one everybody was trying to surpass. She was great and still is, by the way. She has more medals than any woman in the world. But Michael Phelps passed that and did double in the gold than what she had done. Standard was set pretty high. Here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, we see another group of people that set a high standard. Verse 20 talks about the Pharisees. The Pharisees were very righteous people. There were many things that Jesus commended them for. He said, later on in Scripture, he said, the things that they teach you, do those things, but don't act like they act. They're teaching you the right things, but they're not always doing the right thing. They set the standard high. They wanted very much to be holy people. They wanted very much to be right with God. Their very name means separated ones, separated unto God, separated unto holiness. They wanted to live above the world and away from the world and outside of the world. They wanted to be an example to the world. And many things they did very well. But they looked beyond what God intended and they came up with even more laws and more rules and more regulations than what God intended. The Pharisees identified some 613 laws and rules in the Old Testament scriptures. They had 248 things that they were supposed to do. And they had 365 things they were not supposed to do. And they were very rigorous and very judgmental of anybody who didn't live up to their standard. They set a very high standard, obeying the Old Testament law every way they possibly could. And then along comes another person who set the bar even higher. Surpassed them. Did greater things than them. Said, there's more to be done than what you have said. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes in here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. All these people have been living by such oppression from these Pharisees who were trying to get them to keep all the rules and people were failing left and right all over the place. And they looked at them and said, we can never be good enough. We can never be as good as they are. We're never going to make it. And then Jesus comes along and offers them some hope. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be salt and light. You're going to be different than these Pharisees. You're going to be great if you follow me. And some people may have thought, all right, he's going to get these guys. He's going to wipe these guys out. He's going to go after these guys. And Jesus did point out their flaws. But he did uphold the law. God's law. Matthew 5, verse 17, don't even start to think that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus did not lower standards. Oh, the Pharisees were extremely religious. They were extremely self-righteous. They were very much impressed with themselves. And everybody else was impressed by their goodness. And they said, we can't make that. We can't do that. But Jesus said, I've got a higher standard even than that. Something that goes beyond that. He said, I came to fulfill all of the law. Can you imagine trying to keep up? Just think this morning. Just think this week. Have you even kept the Ten Commandments? The ones that everybody knows about? Have you even kept those? And to think of all the laws. We're talking about not only the moral law, the Ten Commandments. We're talking about the ceremonial law. All of those sacrifices, all those feasts, all those details that you read about in Exodus and Leviticus. And you go, oh, I can't wait till I get through reading through this as I'm reading through my Bible. I want to get on to something good. We look at those things, but how in the world can we keep up with all of that? Then there was the judicial law, the Jews law as a nation. Jesus came to fulfill every single one of those things. It's amazing that He was able to do that. You see, that's the preeminence of Scripture. Jesus was saying, God gave us this book. God gave us these laws. God gave us these Ten Commandments. God gave us these ceremonial laws, all these judicial laws. And that's because He's perfect and He has a righteous standard. And anything less than that is just not good enough. Jesus was good enough. He kept every single one of them. And there was a reason for all of that. The preeminence of Scripture, Jesus believed it, He taught it, He fulfilled it. Verse 18 goes on, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." God's word is permanent. It was meant to be kept completely all the way through. You see, God's word is the standard of righteousness. It was authored by God. The rabbis looked through Scripture to find various commands and regulations, and those they would add supplemental requirements. They couldn't keep up with it. But God's Word in itself is perfect and has all that we need. And if we will just obey it, if we could obey it. I've read this thing so many times. I've read it through over and over again. And every time I look at it, I say, well, I failed there. I blew it there. I didn't make it there. I can't do this. I just can't do this. But Jesus did. I can try to ignore it. I can try to put it away. I can try to add to it. I can try to put more rules and more fences around it so that I can kind of stay hemmed in. But what I need to do is just obey what it says. See, it says, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law. That means not the smallest word, not a single letter, not even a single part of a letter is going to go away. God expects us to uphold all of this. What does that do for you? Does that make you feel like you're accomplishing it? Does it make you feel like you're succeeding? Does it make you feel maybe a little guilty? I trust it does, because that standard is not going to go away. You can beat against it. You can try to shove it. You can try to move it. You can try to work your way around it. It's not going away. All of these laws, all of these regulations that you find in Scripture, you just can't do it. It's preeminent. It is permanent. Verse 19 tells us something else. "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach so men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." These Pharisees were teaching people what to do. These Pharisees were showing people, trying to set themselves up as the ones who were going to teach the Scripture properly. But many of the times they were saying one thing and doing something else. We as Christians can do the same thing. We can teach our kids to have the right actions and then have the wrong ones. We can get on our kids for having the wrong attitudes and have our own hissy fit. We can tell the lost how they're supposed to live and then live something else. When a Christian ceases to revere and obey God's Word in even the slightest degree, to that degree, he surpasses the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees. We need to be very careful that we're obedient to the Scriptures. See, the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees was external. It was all about what everybody could see. I think sometimes we as Christians get accused of that. We put on our suits and ties and come to church. We put on our dresses and come to church. And we sing the right songs. And we carry the right Bible. And we go through all the right motions. And sometimes we do that to be seen of men. I was talking with someone this week about how they had gone to a church. And it seemed like the main purpose for going to church was to show off the hat that you wore or to show off the clothing that you wore to church. The Pharisees were that kind of people. They would go and blow a trumpet before they prayed. They would stand before others and talk about how good they were. They would hold themselves up as the standard rather than allowing God's word to speak for itself. Their righteousness was external. We need to understand that hypocrisy will not substitute for holiness. We need to be what the Word of God says, not just say what the Word of God says. We need to live it. We need to internalize it, make it a part of our lives. The scribes and the Pharisees, they had a righteousness that was partial. It wasn't complete. Oh, they did what they could. Look at Matthew chapter 23 for just a moment and see some of the things that they did. Matthew chapter 23, again, they had all these rules, 614 rules that they were trying to keep. Matthew chapter 23, verse 14. Verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, ye make him twofold more the child of the hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it's nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. It goes on and it talks about over and over again how they would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, how they would try to keep all these rules, and yet they could say a magic hocus-pocus word and they'd be out of an obligation that they had for somebody to meet somebody's need. You know, we can be doing all the right things and yet really not obey what God wants. And it is to look out for others, to get the gospel to others, to care for others, to truly minister to people. We can go through all of our religion and all of our rituals and not be righteous. Ritual cannot substitute for righteousness. The Pharisees had a righteousness that was external. It was partial. It was redefined. They knew all of their rules, but they didn't know God's rules. They were allowing the jots and the tittles, the details of the law, get away because they knew they couldn't keep them. And so they made up their own rules, trying to establish their own righteousness. They knew they couldn't be holy in the same way that God is holy and had no desire to be. So they simply changed the meaning of holiness. We need to be careful about that. We set standards as believers, don't we? Ways that we go about doing things. We want things to be done decently and in order, and that's okay. But we need to make sure that all of those things are brought in line with the Scriptures and not with some tradition that's been passed along by someone else. We don't need to live by the gurus. We need to live by God's Word. We need to be careful and be faithful to do that. The Pharisees had a righteousness that was self-centered. They wanted to rule their own lives and determine their own destiny. They wanted to make themselves look good. And that was very far from what God wanted. Now, we see back in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore break one of these commandments and shall teach men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That's the permanence and the pertinence of Scripture. And now we're going to look at the purpose of Scripture. Verse 20. It says there in that verse, I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees were very careful about all these details. Very careful about wearing the right stuff and walking the right amount of steps on the Sabbath day, carrying the right burden, doing the right things, always concerned, living up to the standard. And Jesus said, it's just not good enough. It's just not good enough. Being in church today, I'm glad you're here. But I hope you understand being in church is not gaining you favor with God. Sitting there looking as nice as you do, and you do look nice, is not gaining you favor with God. Even going through this week, many of you are very disciplined in having your devotions and reading your Bibles and spending time in prayer. Those don't gain favor with God. You teach your kids right, and you have family devotions, and you send your kids to a Christian school, and you are there on Wednesday nights, and you have your kids there. That doesn't earn favor with God. This is what the Pharisees did. And they missed it all. The following verses go on, and we're just going to hit on them. And over the next few weeks, we're going to detail some of these things. Verse 21. Ye have heard. By who? From the Pharisees. From the religious leaders. From the religious scribes. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. That's true. But Jesus said, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Go on to verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Verse 31. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Verse 33. Again, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, verse 34, swear not at all, neither by heaven, nor for it is God's throne. Go to verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them which curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. See, what Jesus was saying is that the Scripture tells us more than just the letter of the law. The Scripture does more than tell us the details of how to do this all right. The Scripture is also teaching us the spirit behind it and what God really, truly wants. See, we can do all the right things for all the wrong reasons. I can't tell you how many people I've met who I think that is so true about. God, or Jesus Christ here, as He comes in, He says, I didn't come to destroy the law. I didn't come to wipe out the details. The details are important. They're going to last forever. Not a jot or tittle is going to go away. You should teach it, but you should do it. He goes through all those things in Matthew 5, 17 to 20. And He gets to this purpose as at the end. Is that to see that there's no way in the world we can do it. You just can't do it. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't earn favor with God. You got to have a higher standard than the Pharisees, or you're not going to make it. And their standard was high. Why? the only one who ever fulfilled all of the law. The only one who kept the details to the littlest, minutest detail. Judicially, as a Jew, ceremonially, he was the fulfillment of every Old Testament sacrifice, the fulfillment, all of those feasts were a picture of something that he would do. And morally, Jesus Christ kept every single detail and had the right heartbeat behind it as he did it. He's the only one who ever did it. You and I can't do it. I stand before you as a pastor telling you, I can't do it. I stand before you as someone who's been saved since I was 6 years old, and I haven't been able to do it. I grew up in a home where parents taught me this stuff from before I knew I was being taught this stuff. Who were taught by grandparents who taught them this stuff. You can't do it. You can't do it. But Jesus did it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was the one who fulfilled the law. He was the one who met God's demand. And He did that because He wanted us to receive His righteousness. And when we, by faith, put our trust in the one who fulfilled God's law, when we, by faith, accept the grace of God, the unmerited favor, the mercy of God that we do not deserve, and we come to the place where we humble ourselves and are willing to accept the gift of salvation, the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. The price was paid by Jesus Christ, who didn't deserve it. And He said, if you will receive Me, I will give you My righteousness. That's what God said, what Jesus said. And we can be justified and redeemed from our sins because Jesus Christ did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law, and He accomplished it. And said, now I want to share the benefits with you. He wants to share the benefits with your neighbors. He wants to share the benefits with your unsaved loved ones. This is why He came. This is why this is recorded for us. This is the New Testament. This is not trying to keep the laws and failing. Get past your guilt. Get past your works. Get past your struggles to gain the favor with God. And accept what Jesus did for you. And when you do that, it comes out in the way you live. Not to earn salvation, but to display it so others want it. This is what we're here for. This is why we've been left here. This is why the moment we're saved, we're not hauled to heaven. He left us here to be salt and light and to proclaim who Jesus is. And what He has done. And to help people get past all of the guilt and all of the failures and all the discouragement that they face as they try to live a religious life that will get them nowhere. Do you know the Lord? Do you have a right relationship to His law because of what Jesus has done for you? Have you accepted His gift of salvation? If you have, enjoy it. Revel in it. Be grateful for what Jesus did for you. And share it with the world around you that needs to hear it as well. Trust what God has said. Obey what He has said. And you can have salvation and live for Him. Let's stand together for a closing prayer and a song. Father, we're thankful that Jesus Christ did come. We're thankful that He did share His heart with us. Thank You, Lord, that He did tell us how He wants us to live. Lord, we know that You've given us Your Word that shows us the standard. We know we can't make it, but we're thankful that Jesus did. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to accept his gift of salvation if we have not, and to share that gift with the world that needs it. Work in our hearts even now as we close this service out. If there's one who doesn't know, Lord, know you as Savior, please, Lord, bring conviction. Help them to get past their religion and develop this proper relationship, receive this proper relationship with Jesus Christ that can give them home in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.